Title of this message is Solving Life's Difficulties. Am I on? It says I am. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you, Lord. Give us ears to hear what the Spirit of God is saying. Father, use me for your glory, to feed your people, to open up their eyes and their hearts, that you may fill them to overflowing with good things. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. 27th chapter, starting in verse 9. We will read to verse 25. Are we there? As we start. And now, when much time had been spent and sailing was now dangerous because of the fast was over, Paul advised them, saying, "Men, I perceive that this voyage will end in disaster." Great words of comfort, right? "And much loss, not only to cargo and ship, but also our lives." And he's stating this thing with confidence. "Nevertheless, the centurion was more persuaded by the helmsman and the owner of the ship than he was by the things that Paul spoke. And because the harbor was not suitable to winter in, the majority advised to set sail from there also, for it was by means that they wanted to reach Phoenix, a harbor of Crete opening toward the southwest and northwest, and winter there. When the south wind blew softly, and supposing that they had obtained their desire, putting out to sea, they sailed close by Crete. But not long after the tempestuous head wind arose, called Euryclon Smith, whatever you want to call it. So when the ship was caught and could not head it to the wind, we let her drive, and running it under the shelter of an island called Clauda, we secured the skiff with difficulty. And when we were taking it aboard and used cables to undergird the ship, the fearing least that they should run aground on the Syrtis sands, they struck sail, and so were driven. And because we were exceedingly tempestuous tossed, the next day they lightened the ship. On the third day, they threw over the ship's tackle with our own hands. And now when the sun and stars had not appeared for many days, and no small tempest beat against us, all hope that we would be saved was finally given up. Therefore, take heart, men, for I believe God that it will be just as he has told me. But after long abstinence for food, Paul stood in the midst of them and said, "Men, you should have listened to me and not have sailed from Crete and incurred this disaster and loss. I now urge you to take heart, for there will be no loss of life among you, but only the ship. For therefore stood by me that night an angel of God to whom I belong and whom I serve, saying, 'Do not be afraid, Paul. You have been brought. You must be brought before Caesar, and in order, indeed, God has granted you all that you sail with you.'" What we have here is a picture of great calamity, and I want to use it as a metaphor as to our lives. And there's three great principles that Paul illustrates here for us, of which I've had to recently re-enlist in my own personal life, because, you know what, in overcoming life's difficulties or solving these difficulties, all of us will go through these things. And Streams has been going through an extreme testing, and I would say ever since the beginning of September, we have really been going through the mill. Me personally, because of the attack, and now where I am financially, I have to make certain decisions that will benefit my family just as much as anybody else would have to make decisions. And that was with great time before God and asking and seeking Him what He wanted me to do, and He has given me instruction to do that. But we have to understand that in this life, there are going to be great storms in our lives. They may come from unexpected things happen suddenly upon us. It could be a death in the family of a loved one. It could be a loss of a job. It could be a diminishing of jobs. could be diminishing of perks that we have going on in our lives. It could be a numerous amount of things that come into our lives, all designed to shake us, all designed to see what our metal is in Jesus Christ. And what happens is, it's not necessarily God doing this, but God will work through these circumstances in our lives so that we can make decisions based on His Word. Satan doesn't want that. Satan wants us to look at the storm and become afraid and make decisions based on the immediacy of the need, which have short-term answers to it, but have long-term effects. Okay? And a lot of us tend to operate from the situation of what is going on in our lives, the storms in our lives, and we make decisions based on the immediacy, but we don't base it on anything else. And this is basically some of the illustrations here. Paul goes to talks to Justice, who in this chapter here, he's a centurion who's in charge of the prisoners who are being taken to Rome. And he tells him, he says, you know, dudes, this isn't good. We shouldn't sail. We should stay here, because after he had fasted, he has presumed in his self that he thought that there was going to be a problem. Now, how many of us, when we find something on the cusp, we know something within us. We can't exactly put our finger on it, but we've been there and we understand that something bad's going to happen. We don't know what it is. We can't explain it, but we know. And we're persuaded that that's not the direction we should go in. And we try to convince other people who are going that way too not to go there. And what happens is, those people who are not in tune to spiritual realities tend to not pay attention to what we're offering to them. And they make decisions based on their schedule, based on their need, based on everything but the Word of God. And this is exactly what had happened. And at the end of this reading, we see that Paul first says to him, I told you so, right? And we know people that have said to us, I told you so. Didn't I forewarn you? Didn't I do this? And all of us have been in those predicaments from time to time, and yet we will not listen to the Word of God. We're listening to everybody else, but we're not going to listen to God. God can't tell me what to do. I'm my own free moral agent. Well, that's true, and you will suffer the consequences of it. And in this account, they did suffer. They lost the tackle, then they lost the skiff, then they lost the ship. But their lives were spared because Paul had interceded on their behalf that would be so. We at Streams have been interceding for months about this whole process that we've been going on. And what we have seen is this graduation of explosion of attacks by the enemy. He cannot attack us. He's doing things, but he's doing things that are external to the core of Streams. He's attacking our families. He's attacking us in our jobs, job relationships. All kind of things are going on. And some of us are oblivious to it. And I can't understand why you're oblivious, because being here, you've been taught that there's a spiritual reality going on. We're in a warfare. And yet, I hear people say, well, Pastor, you just don't understand. No, you don't understand. You know, I understand succinctly what's going on, because I've had it happen to me personally. I've had attacks come. And the attacks will come. The key in this is, what will you do when the storms in your life come? And Paul gives us three elementary things that we have to do in order to weather the storm, succeed through the storm, and be able to come out of the other side. If we lose everything, at least we have our lives. And this is where what the key is. We try to save everything and everybody, but we don't listen to God. And so there's great destruction that comes upon us. A lot of times what we find is that in nature, there's tremendous storms. We can see rain. We can see thunderstorms. Sometimes thunderstorms graduate to great intensity, great thunders, great lightnings. We can have hurricanes, tornadoes, you name it, we can have it. Blizzards, whatever it is. These things will come and they will disrupt human life. Okay? It's how we respond to these things that will determine it. No different than in the spirit realm. The spirit realm has storms that are designed. They're called trials, tribulations. They're called difficulties. They're called circumstances that squeeze us so hard that what's inside comes out. And what comes out may not be godly. Okay? But God will use that in such a way to help us understand that He's at work in our lives and He's taking this junk out. But most of the time what we do is we flail against God and we don't do what He tells us to do. We don't want to hear it. And like I said, we want to decide for ourselves, and what happens is we live in this life of delusion that is not based on reality, it's based on something other than reality, and we're trying to convince and influence everybody else that we're okay. Everything's fine. What's going on in your life? Ah, you know, same old, it's good. Well, the reality of it is you're deceived, and you don't want to understand that God's trying to get you from point A to point B. You're just unwilling to do it. And so you deserve what you get from it. Okay? What's one of the first things that comes into our lives? We got to learn to listen to the right voices. Okay? We being spiritual people and we call ourselves Christians, what voices are we listening to? Just because the storms come into the lives does not exonerate us from the effects of it. We will go through it just like the heathen go through it. It's how we go through this that will determine how we're going to influence those outside. Do we run around when the first sign of a storm comes in, we run around screaming and yelling at everybody? We cause them to be uncomfortable. They're on eggshells about us. Do we rant and rave because we're not getting the way that we thought that was the way to go? And the effect that's coming out of it is far below what we thought it was going to do. We thought that we would have safe passage to here when we didn't even get out of the chute. And we've been met with more resistance, more confusion, more tribulation that causes us to be unsettled. Do we run to everybody else to find out what they think we should be doing? Or do we run to God and find out what He says? And sometimes it's going to require us to fast to go through these things so that we can hear His voice clearly, because there's so much noise that's out there, we can't hear Him properly. So once we start denying the flesh of what it wants, and we get past that initial point of it wanting to be fed, it wanting to be taken care of at the expense of our spiritual receptors, then what happens is it comes to down to the basics of, do we listen to God and godly people in our lives who have experience in these things, or are we listening to the world? And I hate to say this, but I think most of the church listens to what the world says. Most of the time, when godly men and women try to speak into people's lives, they try to bring them to a safe haven so that there could be rest, there could be something that go, let the storm blow by. Not take them out of the storm, but get them to a place where there's safety so that the loss won't be so great and the effect upon their lives will be minimized. If we're not listening to their voices, what happens is our pride begins to build up, and we begin to start looking at the storm instead of looking at Christ. Isn't that what happened to Peter? He walked out of the boat. He was focused on Christ. But when he saw the storm raging, he began to sink. And isn't that what we do? We do the same thing. We start off real well with our relationship to God. We start out real well with relationship to our brothers and sisters. But then for some reason, we feel that to be transparent and ask for help, that's beneath us. I got this one. You got it, and your family's going to be shipwrecked because you don't know what's going on. You have no clue, and you're in a storm, and you don't even realize it. And many do that today. Our pride blinds us to the realities and the truths of our situation. A lot of times what we do is we depend upon our experiences, never realizing what our limitations are. God has built us in such a way that we need each other. No person has all the answers to every situation except Jesus Christ. So He has built us to relate to each other so that we can glean from one another's experience, glean from one another's ability. And as I've said to you, the vision that God has given to me as He's rolling back the scroll is too big for me to accomplish. I need you guys. I need you guys more than you understand. And I think you may think that, well, you know what, Pastor's got this one covered. Pastor's now passing on the responsibility to the church. I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing. I'm supposed to train you to go through these things, to do ministry, to help others sail into safe havens. You just don't understand, Pastor. I'm so busy. So many things are going on. My work schedule is such. You know what? That doesn't impress me. You could say that till the cows come home. It does not impress me. Why? Because I've lived that experience. And yet God provided for us. God did it. I used the time that I had to spend time with Him so that when the storms came, I could hear His voice clearly. I wasn't waiting for, I got this under control, and then when my ship is sinking, I go out and I break the glass and call on God. No, I'm calling God before the storm comes. Why? Because that's wise. That's wisdom. And that's what God wants us to do. He doesn't want to show up at the 11th hour to save us. He wants to be there in the midst of us. He wants to protect us all through that. But because we exhibit such pride and arrogance in our supposed wisdom and our supposed abilities, that what happens is we shipwreck and we lose relationships that are important to us. And sometimes the people that are supposed to be with us alongside give up on us because, guess what? You're not going and following the instructions of the Lord. They know better than you. And so what you do is you rant and rave. You know, I'm this great leader. You should follow me because God says that I'm the head of this household and I need to do this. You need to earn the right to say that. And earning that right means spending time at His feet that He tells you what needs to be done. Not you thinking that you know what's got to be done. So listen to the right voices. Second, Paul stated he knew to whom he belonged to. Most Christians think that God is this Savior, but He's not Lord. He doesn't have any ownership rights to us. The bottom line is, especially in Western culture, that is pervasive throughout the church, is that God owns you. He paid for you. And when you said, yes, Lord, that meant, yes, Lord. You got every right to do whatever you want, and I had the right to follow you. Nothing more, nothing less. God wants us to understand that we belong to Him. And because we belong to Him, He will take care of us. Case in point, when we were filing for all our banking, we went through 7 or 8 different banking institutions and consultants and what do they call them? The guys who have more contacts with banks and stuff. Brokers, thank you. We dealt with that, and none of that was coming to pass. And when we were going to make a call to the owner, as a matter of fact, we did make the call. God moved in the midst of that. God provided a way that was totally off the board that was so unfounded, so unrealistic, but he let us do what we could do first, and then he said, I got this one. Stand back and watch the glory. See what I do for you. To the point that he's made a way. He is the way. And he's taking care of us. We have to understand that in difficult situations, God has an answer for everything. It's whether he's got our ear to hear what he's got to say. And when he tells us what we need to do, we don't need to just scoff at it. We need to become obedient, because like I said last week, the Word of God isn't something that we just read and figure out what we want to do. The Word of God is for man to be obedient to fulfill. And your obedience and my obedience is predicated upon that, so that we could stay in the grace of God and be blessed by God, which I believe Streams is pretty well off in that, in that we are obedient to God. We are doing the things that God has said to us. And because of it, there is such resistance in the spirit realm that we're meeting. And because we know who owns us, we know who has the right to us, we have to be confident to exhibit that. But what about those who don't have Jesus Christ? They have two things. They have their own mind, which we know that's corrupt, and they have the opinions of the world, of which corrupts them even more because they're chasing after man's opinion, not God's. Well, they don't know God, but they see us. And if we are acting just like they are, why would they come to Jesus Christ? They won't. Well, the church just wants my money. Well, yeah, but you don't understand what it's used for. It's to pay you this great, great salary, Pastor. Well, I hate to disappoint you, but I don't get paid anything. Yeah, right. Mm-hmm. Sure. No, everything goes into ministry. Everything goes to people's lives. Everything is done so that people can be blessed. God has blessed me as a tent maker with outside employment. Do I desire to be a shepherd only? Oh, absolutely. But God has a plan, and I'm working that plan according to what he has instructed me to do. No complaints from my end. But it's not about me. It's about your relationship to Jesus Christ. Where are you? Do you belong to Jesus Christ? Are you saved? Well, yeah, I've been saved for 20 years. Well, you're still acting like a two-year-old. After 20 years, you think you learned something. Well, you just don't understand. I've had a difficult life. Okay. That's about 100% of us have had a difficult life. You just don't understand. I don't relate well with people. Well, could it be because you're doing things that don't add up to what a believer is supposed to be? Do you do things that separate you from believers? Do you make grandiose statements that have no basis in the Word of God? Does your life line up with the Word of God? I'm not judging you, but I'm just giving you some things to think about so that you can understand that God blesses the faithful. Faithful in little, he'll bless you with faithful with much. And it's just that simple. Do we cast all our cares upon him and serve others, believing that our needs are going to be met as we're serving others to meet their needs? That's part of being obedient. Or is it, my name's Jimmy, gimme, gimme, gimme? All these things create difficult situations for ourselves, and our decisions about those things add up to increased difficulties, tribulations, and problems. We have to understand that the Church of Jesus Christ has one job to do, and it isn't to sit in the pew. It's to fulfill the Great Commission. He has told us to go and make disciples of the nations. That's our job. All of us. Well, I don't have the gifts and talents that you have. I didn't have them either. But I was smart enough to begin to start asking God for them and start practicing like I did. The question is Are you worldly? Are you more concerned about your money? Are you concerned about your job? Are you concerned about your position, power, beauty, fame? What is it that you have that you're holding on to that you value more than your salvation? Value more than your relationship to Jesus Christ? You have to understand, these things are but a moment, and you can't take them with you. When we leave this world, what is our life going to say about us? Are people going to say, well, he was a nice guy, but he was selfish and self-centered. He was an ornery cuss. He really didn't help anybody. Are they going to really miss us? Man, he was a great guy. He gave me the shoes off his feet, the shirt off his back. Gave me the car to do certain things, to get things done. Gave me his TV set. Did this, did that, whatever. Do we equate that with love? Because that's what love really does. It sacrifices at your expense for somebody else. And that's what God wants us to understand. He owns us so that His love can come into us, through us, to bless other people. And testimonies this morning affirm that. And I am so proud of you guys that in spite of the difficulties that you find yourself in, you're still loving people, still serving them, still meeting their needs. Why? To accomplish the will of God. He gives us these tools and gifts to accomplish His will. So you have to listen to the right voices. You got to know that who owns you. You're not your own. You've been bought with a price. And third, it's to know the power of God's promises. Do we search the Word only in times of great distress? Or are we in His Word in such a way that when distresses do come, we can go to prayer and say, God, You promised this. Thus says, boom, 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 the Word of God. It just doesn't work for me. Well, what's your relationship to Jesus Christ? Well, I pray sometimes. Okay, you pray sometimes, but are you in His Word? Well, I just don't have time. Well, why don't you have time? Well, you see, my schedule's so busy, and I got all this stuff to do, and you just don't understand, Pastor. I don't want to hear that, because where you are, I was, and God brought me through. And said I was faithful. And sometimes I feel like I'm not faithful. But He says, and that's all that matters. We have to understand that if we're not in His Word, if we don't know what He says in here, how are we going to be able to lay hold of the promises that when we find ourselves in difficult situations, trials, times of testing and stuff, and we don't know what the promise is to help get us through, no wonder we're in such dire straits. Because we really don't have a relationship with God Almighty. We just think we do. We have to be able to come to the place in understanding that difficult situations are going to come, no matter what. But are we going to listen to the voice of God and hear what He has to say about every situation? Because He's experienced the human condition. He knows our weaknesses. He knows what we need at the right time. And He's going to meet our need, not our greeds. Okay? He wants us to be obedient to that which He's told us to do. Is His promises conditional? Absolutely. It's based on your obedience to the condition to do what He says to do. And that means get out of the way so that He can do what He has to do. And He'll allow us to go through these things. We'll spin our tires in the sand. And He'll allow us to dig a hole. And then He'll take us by the hand and say, okay, now this is what you're going to do. And I'm going to watch you do this. But you're not going to do this anymore. That's how Daddy is. That's how fathers do it. So you got to be certain about the voices that you're listening to. Two, you got to know in whom owns you. And three, you got to be in His Word and you got to know His promises. Why? Because when you're out there ministering and the storms of life come into you, those who are in need are watching what's going on in your life. If your life is filled with turmoil and a lot of negativity, they're going to say, why? I don't need Jesus Christ. I can behave that way anyhow. You know, there's a better way. And where we're going as a church, we need to throw down the childish things, take care of our temper tantrums, and repent before God, get clean, and begin to embrace that which He's called us for. Because we've never been here. We've been chosen for a time as this, and what God wants to do in our lives is awesome. But He's not going to use you if you're not willing to hear what He has to say, do the things that He says to do, and base it upon His promises in order for you to be blessed. Amen? So, let's pray. Father, we just thank You, God. A very elementary word, God. No heavy revies in this. Very basic. But I thank You for Your people. I ask that You bless them, God. Implement these principles into their lives so that they may fully understand the capacity of how great Your love is. That even if we lose everything, God, in this world, we still have You. And You are more than enough. Lord, I ask that You bless their comings and goings. Continue to protect us, Lord, as we go through this time of acquisition and preparation for the next phase. I thank You for Your people. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.